All right, let's open up our Bibles, brothers and sisters, going back into Philippians. And if you recall the last time we got together here in the Philippians studies that the Lord's been bringing, we rejoiced in the glory, and specifically the glory of forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting, praise God, the things of the old man, if you will. Forgetting the things of this life. And we rejoice that the glory of living one thing, and that's living a life that is focused upon the out resurrection. Understanding that everything that will be about that out resurrection, meaning the bridal company, that first trumpet rapture, will be because of the new creation. It's all going to be in the new man. It's all going to be, praise God, in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It won't be anything of us. There's nothing to glory in. If there's anything that we're glorying in of our lives, if there's anything that is a glory that we think that gives us esteem or favor to God that isn't all in the blood of the Lamb, then we've missed it. And we are detracting from what His glory is. And I would just encourage, go back and listen to those things. But that's a mighty thing to think about, brothers and sisters, the glory that God has given us, to forget the things of this life, forgetting those things that are behind, and living for the one thing, the only thing, the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the air, to meet the bridegroom in the air. But in order to attain to that out resurrection, in order to forget those things behind, there is but one way to do that. One way that that's worked. And now we're going to go back to verses 10 and 11 of chapter 3. Here you go. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. How marvelous the call, the encouragement. We must know Him. We must know Him completely. We must know Him divinely. We must know Him intimately. In every way, brothers and sisters, fashioned like unto Him. And that's how it comes, is in that beautiful knowledge. The word of His grace, truth in love. And I thank the Lord, praise God, we are fashioned to Him in every way by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. The promises of God are yea and amen, but the promises of God come one way, and that's by faith, by believing the word of God. We've seen that throughout the word of God. We know that over and over. That promise was there. Those that enter into the promise were those that believed. Those that failed to enter into the promise were because they didn't believe. That promise was right there. We see the evidence of those things that occurred, those things that happened. Obviously, we see how beautiful the promised land was always there for them, wasn't it? Those, praise God, those two. And then all of those young ones entered in, but those two believed. Joshua and Caleb, they knew it, and they believed, and they went in. But the ones, even though it was there, even though it was told, they did not believe. They were fearful. They were doubtful. They always had excuses of why, even though it was there, it wasn't what it was meant to be for them for some reason. Don't ever do that with the Word of God. It's for you. Amen. It's for you. The promises of God are for you. And I thank the Lord that we know these things and we come in there. And those that take heaven, I tell you, they're the violent. And they take it by force. You got to get obnoxious about this. It's mine. It's mine. It's the prize of everything. He is mine. Praise God. Remember, don't forget those Gentile bride studies. Those precious sisters, they went in there and they took it. It didn't look like they should have it. They were told it wasn't theirs. Even the events and how things looked. What are you doing? But they knew that promise was theirs. And they went in there and took it. And praise God, that's the encouragement that we need to have. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we know him completely, divinely, and intimately, when we are fashioned like him by faith, is it any wonder why the four living ones, as they come forth, those seen in the fourth chapter of Revelation, those that are the representative of the bride of Christ that's seen seated in the midst of the throne with him, is it any wonder that they are like him? The eagle, the calf, the man, and the lion. All of those that are there. And it's a perfect representation of our Lord. Is it any wonder why John, as he was being led through those visions and glory, as he was taken to see those events, the one that was showing him around, he kept bowing down and worshiping? Is it any wonder why the bride, the Lamb's wife, she's adorned, coming down from heaven? She has the glory of God and her light. If you just thought about that, and someone said, well, who has the glory of God and light? We would say it's Jesus. Do you see? She's like him. She's grown up into him. And no, there was a certain brother. He says, oh, no, that meant growing up unto him. No, it doesn't. You grow up into him. You grow up into that head. You're the body, amen. But you get all of the supplying from that head. You are one in Christ. We are of him. We are of God. I thank the Lord that we have that encouragement and that calling, that he, again, has made us like him. Praise you, Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the bride grows up into him in all things. And once that really begins to transform, and I'm talking about the transformation of the glories into your life, and you know that, you receive those glories from glory to glory, you grow into that same image. That mind begins to reign more in you. You face things that maybe you faced before, maybe they're new things, but you face them differently because you see them from a different place. You don't see them from the realm of this life. You see them where you are seated in the heavens in Christ. That's the magnificence of this, brothers and sisters. Our identity is in Christ. Our life is in Christ. Our life is of Christ. Our life is in the Word, this all-powerful Word of God. Oh Lord, let me effectually believe this. Let it be powerful believing in my life. Praise be to God. I thank the Lord. You think about, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How much did Jesus believe his Father? And we live by the faith of the Son of God. How much did Jesus believe his Father? Completely confident. Whose life lives in you? Let it believe. Give over to that new life. Give over to the new creation. Give over to Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's marvelous. Now, as that transforming of the glories into your life, brothers and sisters, we know there is nothing that compares. The things of this life, they fade away in the promise of the glory that shall be revealed in us. We're confident of it, aren't we? Not because of my actions, not because of my attendance, but because of his grace. It's because of his mercy. It's because of his love. I come to church because of his love. I want to praise him with all that is within me because of his mercy and his grace and his kindness and his long-suffering and his promise. The I am of I am. Praise God, loves me in that incredible love. Now, right before us here in verse 10 is how it happens. And tonight as we launch into this, notice the perfect order of each one of these. That there is no progressing to the next without the prior. To know him and the power of his resurrection. Brothers and sisters, that's an endless study. Matter of fact, we'll have the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come that we will enjoy in a body like unto his own, the realms of the power of his resurrection. Now, how wonderful. To us tonight, the full overcoming Holy Ghost power. The full overcoming Holy Ghost power that not only raised him from the dead, but raised him from hell itself, raised him from sin for us, and revealing to us, brothers and sisters, in our life, this is how personal it becomes, is that there is nothing that we will ever face that God will not raise us from. There is nothing. He has already given us the victory over it. I don't care how entrapped you feel, he has already made the way of escape. I thank the Lord for these things. He's overcome the world. We give him the praise and glory. In this promise of the resurrection power, we now have the very life of Christ. Amen. We have the very life of Christ in that resurrection power, brothers and sisters, the very life of Christ to conquer every foe. And you go on and you think as Christians, as we yield to God, as we walk in the Spirit through the power of the Holy Ghost, we progress in this growth. We grow up in the maturity, praise God, and believe and become assured in the deep truths, yes, the deep things of God. That it is the treasure. I thank the Lord. This is it. This is the one thing. This is the only thing. This is our lives, if by any means. Amen? And aren't we thankful that he's drawing us more and more in to truly laying aside the weights, leaving the contemplation, leaving, well, I want to think about. It's time to believe.
Thank you, Lord.
It's time to just enter into truth and rest. Praise God in this great love wherewith we are loved. Now, listen to this, because I think you already know. You die daily. Have you ever said, man, Lord, I'm getting killed? But we continually die daily. With Brother Paul, as he said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said that. If we're truly running for the prize, we're going to die daily. But remember this, we also continually live daily by the life that now lives in us. You like that exchange? I do. But the only way that I like it is when I see it in light of the truth. When I feed upon it daily and understanding that it's through that weakness that the power of Christ begins to really settle on my life. And I thank God with you that it's his marvelous grace that brings all of those events that we walk in that.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Because we wouldn't have chosen it. You know that. We would have chosen the easy way. You know, it's like the dark mile. I love that story. It's a marvelous story. There's few that go that way. It's treacherous. It can be fearful. But there's no other way like that way. You'll see things in that way and receive things in that way that are glories beyond But most will just keep going around. The same thing with the halfway house. Oh, everybody started out and singing and praising. Oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I've heard that many times. People come in here and sit a few weeks. Oh, man, this has got to be on every radio. Brother, why aren't we on TV here? Why isn't everybody listening to this? I just sit there and laugh. And I said, I appreciate that heart, but you're going to see. Because it is sweet to the mouth, but then it gets bitter to the stomach. Oh, yeah, it does. And it gets bitter quick. Yeah. And this is the life of the Apostle Paul. It still wasn't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Praise God. And remember this too, and I love that. I'm thankful he's given me that glory, but I know it's glory for him. I know that glory is for him. I am so thankful that by taking that grace and that mercy, that's what I bring to him through my praise and thanksgiving, knowing this word that I'm growing in glory for him. Praise his name. And we know it's his glory, so praise God, he gives it to us freely. But we see, brothers and sisters, in this, not only are we seated in the heavens, not only are we seated in the heavens in Christ, but when we live by the power of his might, we live as if we are already dwelling in our resurrected bodies. I rejoiced. Brother Copley wrote that. I had to hear it and read it about four or five more times. And then I began to speak in another language as it became real to my heart. Brothers and sisters, when we live by the power of his might, truly, we live as if we are already dwelling in our resurrected bodies. Because is not this one counted dead because of sin? Think about the life that we live. All right. Let's not think about it. Let's read about it. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. In Romans 8, 11, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, and we know that's the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, that power of his might. If that spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm going to ask you something. Is God's quickening limited? What is he able to do? Anything. Everything. Is he going to be just more for me when I'm like him? Or is he just as for you now? Is he going to love me any different when I'm like him than he loves me now? Appreciated that song that we heard not too long ago. I'm living as if I'm already there. Well, I think this takes it even a little bit further. Lord, by your Spirit, let me live as if I'm in that resurrected body right now. Amen. Is she not a readied wife? Do you think the ruling and reigning, is that going to, do you just go into that, or is that actually happening here? You know it is. Because you're laying hold of it. You're laying claim to what he's given. You're counting those things which be not as though they were. It doth not yet appear, does it? What it shall be. But we know. Isn't that the same thing that the Father said about his Son? You know, everything has already been given to him. It's all in him and all of that. But it just yet doesn't appear that way. I think once again, we're kind of like him, aren't we? You see? Oh, praise God. Let's mine a little bit more by the Holy Ghost. Now, brothers and sisters, His grace is immense. It's grace that has placed us in the same place through His death, imputing to us the same life and God's same favor. For now are we the sons of God. Yes, we are. We're seated in the heavens. I thank God with Christ. Now, where is He seated? At the right hand of God. But we're seated together with Him, aren't we? Are you just seated round about throne, you think? I want you to think about where you're seated in Christ. And we'll hit that in just a second here. But think how immense, again, where He has placed us in that same favor. But the thing is, do we really freely receive the unmerited favor and mercy of God? And I pray that we do. Because if we will accept this fully given resurrection power and believe in the life that now lives in you, that you are more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you, I believe by the grace of God, now we'll have the willingness to progress into this second one, which is suffering together with Him. So we know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Now, knowing Him and the fellowship of His suffering isn't just persecutions in the world. It's not just about bodily aches and pains, diseases and illnesses. It's much more painful than that. This is the suffering together with Him when He went into the garden and every fiber of His being was bleeding through Him. This is pressed out of measure beyond yourself. This was Paul. Paul spoke very limited, if you will. Matter of fact, I think only in a couple places. One time when he said he had to boast about his physical suffering. But one thing Paul made very clear was the suffering that he received with Christ from his brethren that were indifferent, from his brethren that were selfish, in strife, and all of that festering in God's precious people. Brethren that should be in full fellowship. Brethren that should be praying for you, but yet turn to criticism and truly wound you beyond anything you've pretty much ever known. And it's not you, but it's the heart of Christ in you. And I can ask the parents that have children that are grown, what's the thing you ache for the most for your children? Is it their health? Sure, you want them to be healthy. Is it different things? The thing you ache about for your children. Will you go on for God's best? That's what causes you to ache. When you love somebody, you want them to win Christ. If you have truly that agape love, and you ache. Because there are fringe benefits to yielding to God. And those fringe benefits are, you know what? Everything else will be right in order. And as a parent, I can attest to you, if you just pray about your child yielding to God and encourage them to yield to God, they'll have the exact job they're supposed to have. They'll have the exact person that they're supposed to be with. Because it all comes from yielding to God. It's not about what man esteems. It's not about what things may look like to you. But I'll tell you one thing. If your life is on the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you're walking all them before ordained good works that you should walk therein. Showered with glory, showered with mercies, oh, that endure forever. He's so mighty. Now, I'll tell you this. This is when we know the heart fellowship of the Lord. And this is an intimate thing. This isn't just entering into something. This is joint fellowship suffering. But as we go on with the Lord, and as you fall in love with someone, there's nobody more that you'd ever want to suffer with. When you're in love with somebody, you want to suffer with them. You don't want them to suffer alone. And those are the most intimate things. You know, friends will suffer a little bit. We know that a little. But mainly friends, it's usually fair weather. Let's just get together when we're going to do something fun. Go see a game or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying. But I'll tell you what, when it becomes a spouse, you want to be there. You don't want to leave. You want to enter in. Now, what a privilege it is, and the first privilege to be counted worthy to suffer with him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a marvel? This is very God of very God. And he has brought you in to suffer together with him. Not just to, you know, like a lot of people will think, well, he just wants to bless me in what I think blessings are. Greatest blessings he'll ever give you is to suffer together with him. If you know the word of God. That's why this prosper and be in health thing, it is so missing the mark. It's a vile doctrine. It's a doctrine that will lead you way far away from Paul's gospel. Because Paul's gospel has nothing to do with that. We understand that this is a way of a cross. We understand, praise God, that this is the way that we must take if we go. Now, secondly, you think the knowledge of the plan of God and such glory in these sufferings. So, first, we're counted worthy to suffer with him, which is such a joy. And second of all, this joy of the knowledge of the plan of glory in these sufferings. See, you don't suffer for nothing. You know that this is glory suffering. Praise God, take the training. We've heard it over and over again, and we're going to talk about the training in just a second. But this is such a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters. We walk those before ordained good works that we should walk therein. And if you'll walk in them, you'll walk right into the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
They do not lead anywhere else. They can't. And we know that, don't we? And that's why we embrace them. That's why the Word of God says, if you'll suffer with me, you'll reign with me. These sufferings, the Word of God even tells us, and I love that word, those words I should say, do benevolence. Do benevolence. Gifts of kindness. And do benevolence, these gifts of kindness, this suffering, are the gifts that are between a husband and a wife. And this is what he gives us, and he showers us. These are the wedding gifts from the bridegroom to his dearly beloved. And all I can say is, thank you, Jesus. I get it. I get it. It may not be joyous for the moment. And he's shown me that, God, let it just be a moment. Doesn't mean that I have to be taken out of it. But that moment maybe of unbelief or not looking into the word is changed immediately. Amen. And I see the glory. And I begin to give him praise for it. And I'm looking at so many testimonies throughout this place, praise God, of the grace of God that is with you. Amen. That it wasn't that this, as they say, the truck hit me and it just became despairing of our lives. But it was the Lord's bringing glory here. He's bringing the glory. And these are the things that we rejoice in, give him praise. But know this, brothers and sisters, as we go this way. Go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is why I think it even couples with think it not strange when that fiery trial comes to try us, right? Because we know that we are going to suffer in like manner as the Apostle Paul. We are. And God knows divinely what each and every one of us need and how and with what to suffer. And he said that he would not tempt us beyond what we could bear. He knows us. But it's still going to be in like manner in a sense of what it's going to do for my heart and my faith as what those trials did for Paul. That's the truth. See, we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves, do we? When we start to do that, well, his trial's not as hard as mine, or you don't know what I go through. Don't go there. Do not do that. Whatsoever. He wants our thanks and praise. And if we grow in the word of God, we'll put away, because those are childish things. That's speaking as a child when we know the word of God and know how perfectly we are loved. And it's not an easy thing. This isn't, again, to berate. This is to chasten. Let him deal with us as sons. Amen? Let God chasten us. And it's okay to be wrong. And it's okay to feel bad. Repentance is a very good thing. It's wonderful. That's how God brings humility. That's how God brings more grace. He lets you know what? You're not very sweet. He lets you know you're not very faithful. He lets you know what? You're really not that kind. That's how he brings grace. And that's why we get to the point that only he is worthy to be praised. Only he is worthy to be magnified and thanked and lifted up and worshiped. Never a vessel. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful beyond words for Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I know who it is. I know why I love you. And I believe you know why you love me. And it's getting more clear to the light, isn't it? To see the beauty of Christ in one another. And oh, how thankful I am. Thankful I am to have brethren of like precious faith. But here it goes. Just like we don't call it strange, that fiery trial. In chapter 2, verse 15 of 1 Corinthians. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You can read this like this. He that is spiritual discerns all things. But he's not discerned. He himself is not discerned of no man. It's a lonely place. Going on with God is a lonely place. And I will tell you, you will leave behind many familiar friends in the way. And I will even tell you, familiar brethren in the way. But our suffering is never alone. See, there was one who suffered alone. But our suffering is never alone. And we enter into our suffering with the bridegroom, the husband. And we know it hurts. And it does hurt. But once again, we're with him. He's with us. This is the vessel, praise God, that adds to the usefulness of the husband. She aches with him over family. They ache together over the family affairs. And I'm not talking about just the affairs of our home. I'm talking about the affairs of the family of God. Brothers and sisters, there's a there's beginning to be a famine for the Word of God. There's a rampant growth of not enduring sound doctrine. The meetings of the whole counsel of God are beginning to dry up. I will tell you, there are pastors that love that little fold, that their hearts are aching. We need to encourage one another in the things of God. We need to lift up our brethren of like precious faith. I was thinking about Sunday and how vital that is to us. That we love one another. And love one another as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. That we know one another. Know Christ in one another. That we don't just want to come in and go out. That we want to dwell together. And thank the Lord for one another. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. And that's the fellowship of his sufferings. That's when we enter into these things together. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one is esteemed, we're all esteemed in that. There's glory to be had. But see, fellowship in the Greek means intimacy. But it's beyond that. It also means intercourse. It means everything is shared of the head and the body. One suffer, all suffer. One's honored, all's honored. Joint participation and joint partnership. Did you hear that? Joint participation and joint partnership. That's what he's asked us to come into, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. These things come, don't they, brothers and sisters? And they're strange. But we know they're not strange because the Word of God tells us that. But we stand, and having done all to stand. There were ones throughout the Word of God, they showed us these things. It was the grace of God that was with them. It was just like a Joshua. It was just like a Jeremiah. Just like all of those ones that, you know what? It wasn't a popular place to stand. It wasn't popular for the moment. I was reading even in the Grace and Glory, and it's very true. There was a time not too long ago that the mega churches were popular. Now the mega churches are even losing people in their churches. People just don't even want to come to church. Well, one of the reasons that people don't want to come to church anymore is because they're not being fed the Word of God. See, entertainment is not going to captivate your heart. If it truly is about the things of God, it's going to be the word of his grace. And it's going to be that that we feed upon that will propel us on into more glory. We don't need to entertain our children to get them to love the Lord. We need to give our children the word of God. The Bible is absolutely entertaining. It is. It's the most entertaining, captivating thing there ever is or ever was. And I thank the Lord that's how it was brought to me, because it is real. It's our life. How marvelous. Why would I want to try to detract from it by making it something else? By thinking that there's some other way to absorb it, except faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We must hear the word of God. Now, brothers and sisters, she becomes a rest to him as he enables her by grace and mercy to take the most glorious place with him. And think about this most glorious place. It pleased the Father. It was all pleasing to the Father to bruise him. Amen? Amen. Well, how wonderful it is to the Father when we suffer for his son's name's sake. It's never changed. It brings glory to the Godhead. Know what our life is about. Know the calling and the purpose. Praise the Lord, to endure hardness as good soldiers. We go out to battle. Praise God, He goes before us, but we know the victory's already been won. And all it is a good fight of faith, isn't it? It looks like it's daunting. It looks like there's no way we can overcome. It looks like I'm going to just faint and fail. But yet there's something about the Word of God that sustains me. There's something about the Word of God that brings praise and rejoicing to my lips, that lifts up my hands. That in the midst of a battle that is just atrocious, that I begin to smile and thank the Lord for the victory that He's already given. As painful as it was in the garden for Him, as painful physically, if you will, as being nailed to the cross and all of those things, it was all joy. And I will tell you this, as you know, the true pain that the Lord received for us was the pain as He uttered those words, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." See, man always wants to talk about the physical suffering of the Lord. They've done big documentaries and all, and don't get me wrong, it's an amazing thing. But the Lord didn't talk about that. It's just like that Shulamite being dealt with these things. And brothers and sisters, He's at the door. He's right there. She showed us how she missed Him there, didn't she? I looked down at that myrrh. I looked down at that suffering just for a minute. Look up at the suffering. Amen. Count it all joy. Oh my, hallelujah. See, only through suffering is the reigning. Only through the power of the resurrection is that joy from the Holy Ghost received to willingly suffer. The love, brothers and sisters, it was the love that was set before Him, is that same love that's set before us that gives us the strength to go on. It is. But it's not just a story. It lives in us. That same resurrected life power lives in us. And I count Him faithful. My faith is in the faithfulness of the plan of God, in the power of God, in the life of Christ that lives in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because He lives in me. This is the all-powerful Word of God. It's never been defeated, and it never will. It's never lost a battle, because it's already won. It's just like these things going on in the world. Christians getting all bent out of shape. Oh, this is awful, that's awful. Look at this and look at that. Look at the Word of God. Amen. It's all playing out perfectly. Perfectly. I had a sweet brother today tell me. Said, I remember Brother Hill tell me, those devilish ones, they're a lot smarter than Christians. Don't ever think that you're going to ever outfool the devil. But I know who's got the devil on a chain. Amen. There was a few times I thought I was pretty smart. I know I'm not. But I know whose mind is all wisdom. And I know whose power cannot be defeated. Now finally, brothers and sisters, as we close this up, the result of the Holy Ghost power and suffering, oh my, and knowing the fellowship of His suffering, were made conformable unto His death. Because suffering alone is not enough. There must be the knowledge of the suffering. And I thank God for the testimony of the knowledge of the suffering. Yeah. I thank God for that. You know how I know that testimony? Is you keep coming to hear the Word of God. It wasn't just something for a moment. Nah, them are the words of life. That's the drink I need to just keep on drinking. Oh, give me that cup of salvation and let me drink, Lord. The Word of God is so good, isn't it? It's so marvelous. He is the God of all comfort. There isn't anything that the Word of God cannot comfort. There isn't. But without the Word of God, nothing can be comforted. It works the same on both ends. But see, there must be the knowledge of the suffering, the reason for it, and the benefit of it. The glory of the joy of the cross life. Most will suffer in murmuring. Christian, most will suffer murmuring. But ones as Paul suffer in the Word of God. See, there's only one way to suffer with joy and peace in believing, and that's suffering in the Word of God. That's the fellowship of His suffering. You try to take your suffering outside of the Word of God, man will never help you. Man will never have your answer. It'll never bring a comfort. It'll be something that'll be a coat of something, but it'll fade right away. Brothers and sisters, it is so beautiful. When we suffer in joy and peace and believing, we suffer in the joy that is set before us. We suffer counting the manifold temptations as a happy place. Have we not learned that? Oh, yes, you have. And you've been hearing it a lot over the past 10 years. And I'm not ashamed of it. Because I'll tell you what, your gaze better be at one thing, and that better be the mercy seat. And He's got to bring those things that cause you to know, rejoicing, oh, the wretched man that I am. That man that bowed his head, striking his chest, have mercy on me, a sinner. Oh, what beauty he found bowing his head, looking at mercy. And it never, ever ends. It's always from the mercy seat. Never get away from that. They suffer counting the manifold temptations as a happy place. They suffer expecting only more glory to be revealed in them for the Savior. And brothers and sisters, praise be to God. These are the ones that will attain to the out-resurrection. These are the ones that will be ready. The ones drinking the ruling and reigning life right now. Amen? The ones living in the things above right now, being fitted, perfected, and completed to reign with Him forever and ever and ever right now. Right now. It's so marvelous. You're seated with Him. Amen? Now, like I said, you know, you're seated with Him. Amen. Where do you see you're seated with Him? Oh, in the heavens in Christ, you know it. But where do you see it? Where do you see that seat? With Him. In the midst of the throne glory. That's what that resurrected power. That's what was given to us. That's the Holy Ghost power. That's why He sent that power. He said He's with you and He shall be in you. Oh, and you'll have power after He's come in you. And what is that power? Brother, it's faith. The power is to believe God. I better stop.
Hallelujah. Let's stand and be dismissed.